Good morning. Kindly take your seats. Good morning, Council, and welcome. The Chair calls the first meeting of the ALA Council to order. Would all councillors please occupy the reserved seats in the front of the room? If you want to speak at this meeting, please go to a microphone, wait for recognition, then give your name and indicate if you are a division councillor, a chapter councillor, a councillor at large, or a roundtable councillor. Motion forms must be completed for all motions. For your convenience, the motion forms are available at each end of your table. Motion forms must be printed legibly, signed by the mover and seconder, and given to the projectionist before you go to the microphone. This assures that the overhead slide will be available for your motion at the time it is introduced. You will be asked to raise one of your hands for all votes that are not adopted by general consent. Only if the vote seems close will I call for a standing vote. General consent voting will only be used for routine decisions, typically of a procedural nature, such as the decision to recess or change the agenda. Use of general consent is not an appropriate way of voting of main motions. Please watch the overhead screens. Please watch the overhead screens for the motion description to use on your voting card. You may only use that descriptor. Please do not improvise. Please. Your voting record is at your place. You should have a pink card for this morning's meeting. Please sign your voting card now. Seriously, sign your voting card now. Unsigned cards cannot be added to the official voting record, and you will be considered absent from this meeting. If you must leave before adjournment, please take your card to Lois Ann Gregory Wood over at the projectionist table in this room. Electrical outlets are available for those of you who wish to plug in your laptops, tablets, cell phones. If you need power, find the power strip. For those councillors who would like to have their photograph taken for the council webpage, photo gallery, please see Lois Ann Gregory Wood over at the projectionist table. We have special guests with us today. If they are in the room, would they please stand as I call their names? Please hold your applause until all have been recognized. I know you won't do that, but I have to say it because it's in the script. The American Library Association is delighted to introduce 2015-2016 ALA President-elect Julie Todaro. Molly Raphael, ALA past president. Dean Yvette Davis, vice president, president-elect, Black Caucus of the American Library Association. Patty Johnson, president, and Marianne Thompson, vice president, Association of Bookmobile and Outreach Services. Alika Jirasi, co-chair, AFL-CIO, ALA Labor Committee. Susan Mann, president, and Walter Betts, president-elect, Texas Library Association. Patricia Brown, president, Arkansas Library Association. Judd Copeland, president, Arkansas Library Association. I'm sorry, Patricia, Alaska Library Association. I'm so sorry. Jane Corey, President-elect Oregon Library Association. Greta Gook, President, and Wendy Wendt, President-elect North Dakota Library Association. Mary Hassier, President, Maryland Library Association. Julie Hector, President-elect, Nebraska Library Association. Deborah Hoadley, President-elect, New England Library Association. Laura Wayne, President, and Julie Howe, President-elect, Kentucky Library Association. Susan L. Jennings, President, Tennessee Library Association. Robert Karatsu, President, and Misty Jones, President-elect, California Library Association. Lace Keaton, President, Georgia Library Association. Paula Larita, President, Alabama Library Association. Rodney Lippert, President-elect, North Carolina Library Association. Susie Sass Palmer, Virginia Library Association. Gail Roberts, President, Nebraska Library Association. Holly Riccio, President of the American Association of Law Libraries. David Mao, Deputy of the Library of Congress. Janet Clark, President-elect, and Lessa Piliola, Lessa, I always screw up your name, I apologize in advance. Lessa Piliolo Zada, incoming President-elect of the Asian Pacific American Librarian Association. Thank you all so much for honoring us and being here at this council meeting today. The quorum for a council meeting is 75 councilors. I have been advised that we have well over 75 councilors present, therefore we have a quorum. Thank you very much. The rules for this meeting are in council document number 5. Written reports should not be read, and when resolutions are presented, only the resolve clauses should be read. The Resolutions Committee is responsible for reviewing all resolutions at least 24 hours before those resolutions are added to the Council agenda. Please be reminded that all resolutions with fiscal implications must go to the Budget Analysis and Review Committee, also known as BARC, before being added to the agenda. Debate shall be limited to 3 minutes for each speaker. No speaker may have the floor twice on the same questions until all who wish to speak have spoken. We have timing lights that will indicate how much time you have left. When the green light is on, you have up to 3 minutes. When the yellow light comes on, you have 1 minute remaining. And when the red light comes on, your time is up. Keep in mind, this is not intended to stifle debate, but to ensure fairness. Is there any objection to the proposed rules? If there's no objection, the chair declares that the rules are adopted by consent. As a reminder, per the motion that the council adopted and ratified by the membership, our parliamentary authority is now Robert's Rule of Order, newly revised. As a courtesy to others, please turn your cell phones off or put them on vibrate mode. If you need to make a call or take a call, please leave the council area. Thank you. The Resolutions Committee asks that all resolutions be submitted in hard copy and emailed to Councilor Larry Romans, Chair of the Resolutions Committee, at alaresolutions@ala.org. This will aid the projectionist in preparing your motion for the overhead screens. The Resolutions Committee is stationed in the ALA office area, table number 12, in this convention center. It's actually just sort of right around the corner. During the times that are listed in ALA Council Document number 3.1. Would Councilor Larry Romans please stand so you can see him? There he is. Thank you. Also be reminded that all committee reports and documents must be emailed to Lois Ann Gregory Wood, ALA Council Secretariat, at lgregory@ala.org no later than 6 p.m. on the day preceding the council meeting at which they are to be discussed. Also, please provide Lois Ann with a contact phone number in case there is a question about your document. As you know, Council 3 on Tuesday, June 30th, is just 90 minutes long. This is to enable councilors to attend the closing general session and inaugural event, which will begin at 9:30 a.m. on Tuesday. For this reason, we hope to accomplish the bulk of our business at Council 1 and Council 2. There will be reserved seating for councilors at the closing session until 9:25 a.m. At that time, all empty seats in the reserved section will be released to other closing session attendees. The session will take place in this convention center in Esplanada 301, which is across the street.
It's in the other building.
In the other building, yes, or under the street. The agenda, ALA Council Document 8.5, 62715, 9:30 p.m., ACT, is available on the Council section of the ALA Connect and the pickup station in this room. On the agenda, you'll find allocations of time to certain issues. These time limits are only estimates to guide me as I run the meeting. At the ALA virtual membership meeting on June 4th, the following resolution was adopted. Resolution on the importance of sustainable libraries, ALA Council Document Number 36. Also, at yesterday's ALA membership meeting, a resolution on denouncing the systemic racism that motivated the South Carolina shootings, ALA Council Document Number 43, was passed. In accordance with ALA policy, all resolutions approved by the membership will be presented at the next meeting of Council by the Chair of the Resolutions Committee. The chair will indicate which membership resolutions are clearly policy matters. The presiding officer of council will call for council's guidance on the disposition of each membership item in turn. Under the 24-hour rule, we have also received the following resolutions to add under new business. Resolution on libraries and schools affected by conflict in Gaza and Israel in 2014, ALA Council Document Number 40, revised, and Resolution against mass surveillance of the American people, ALA Council Document Number 42. Do you have any other new business at this time? Hearing, are there any objections to the agenda? Hearing no objections, the chair declares the agenda adopted. The minutes of the 2015 ALA Midwinter Meeting, ALA Council Document 2.1, was posted on the ALA Council section of ALA Connect, and a limited number of paper copies are also available in the Council Documents pickup tables in this room. Are there any corrections to be noted? Thank you. There are no corrections. The chair declares the ALA Council minutes from the 2015 ALA Midwinter Meeting adopted. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is nominations for the ALA 2015-2016 Council Committee on Committees. I now call upon Sari Feldman, Chair of the 2014-2015 ALA Council Committee on Committees, to present the committee's report. Good morning, Sari.
Good morning. Thank you, President Young. On behalf of the 2014-2015 ALA Committee on Committees, Ann Crudson, Karen E. Downing, Jim Kuhn, Susan F. Gregory, and myself, it is my pleasure to submit the nominations for election to the 2015-2016 Committee on Committees to be shared by 2015-2016 President-elect Julie Todaro.
I refer you to ALA Council Document Number 12 and submit the following slate of eight candidates from which four are to be elected to serve on the 2015-2016 Council Committee on Committees. The four candidates receiving the highest number of votes will be elected to serve one-year terms beginning at the adjournment of the 2015 annual conference. Will the candidates please stand when named? And please hold your applause until the candidates' names have all been announced.
The candidates are Gladys Smiley Bell, Maria Carpenter, Min Chow, Stephen L. Matthews, Christina Dominguez Ramirez, Ellen Hunter Ruffin, Edward L. Sanchez, and Rocco A. Steno.
You can applaud now. Thank you, Siri. The chair would like to call your attention to Bylaw Article 3, Section 6C, which provides for nominations from the floor. To be eligible, councillors must have terms which extend at least through 2016. Seconds are not required for floor nominations. Are there any nominations from the floor for the 2015-2016 Committee on Committees? If there are no nominations, the chair declares the nominations closed. Ballots will be ready for your pickup today at 11 a.m. at the projectionist table in this room. The ballot box will remain open in this room until 4:30 p.m. You must call upon your ballot in person, or call for your ballot in person. Balloting hours will continue in this room Monday, June 29th, from 8:30 a.m. until 11:30 a.m. The tellers will close the ballot box at 11:30 a.m. sharp on Monday, June 29th, to tally the votes. They will present their report to you on Tuesday, June 30th, during Council 3. I now refer you to ALA Council Document 12.1 and again call on President-elect Sari Feldman.
Thank you, Courtney. The 2014-2015 Council Committee on Committees submits the following councillor-at-large and chapter candidates for election to the 2015-2016 Planning and Budget Assembly. Please note that the first three chapter councillors receiving the highest number of votes will be elected to two-year terms, 2015 through 2017, on the ALA Planning and Budget Assembly. The chapter councillor candidates are Jennifer A. Alvino, Jason Hatton, Ben Allen Hunter, Sherry Machones, Chris Serengan, and Patricia Patty M. Wong. The first two councillors at large candidates receiving the highest number of votes will be elected for two-year terms, 2015-2017, on the PBA. The councillor-at-large candidates are Denise C. Adkins, Mary Biblow, John C. DeSantis, and Eric Cease.
Nominations may be made from the floor. To be eligible, councillors must have terms which extend at least through 2017. Seconds are not required for floor nominations. Are there any floor nominations for the Planning and Budget Assembly? Seeing as there are no further nominations, the chair declares the nominations closed. Thank you, Sari, to you and your committee for a job well done. As noted in ALA Council Document Number 12.2, the following councillors have volunteered to serve as tellers for the election: Kathleen M. DeLong, Ebony M. Henry, Douglas K. Lehrman, Suzanne L. Sager, Kent Slade, William Bill E. Suddeth III, and Denise M. Zielinski, Chair. Thank you very much for volunteering. I now direct your attention to ALA Council Document Number 7 and call upon Councillor Eric Cease, Chair, for his report. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning, and thank you, President Young. At its meeting yesterday morning, the ALA Awards Committee reviewed and support sending to Council for approval a new ALA level award called the Ernest A. D. Mattea Jr. Award for Innovation and Service to Community and Profession. You have it in front of you, but let me just highlight a couple things. This award is for a public library administrator who demonstrates leadership in anticipating emerging trends, services and products, technologies. And among those items to be considered when giving this award is evidence of impact on their community, innovation, and mentoring or teaching future library leaders. The award will be given to one person annually, and it's an award of $5,000. And like all other ALA-level awards, it would be presented at the awards ceremony preceding the President's program. As the chair of the committee, I'm honored to ask your council, the council approval for these things. Anything at the ALA level needs council approval before establishing an award. The committee looked at this and felt that it met all the considerations necessary for such an award, and is I'm very honored to present this to you for a chance to approve it. And so I ask, if you look on the screen, to establish the Ernest A. DeMattea Jr. Award for Innovation and Service to Community and Profession as an ALA award.
Is there any discussion on the motion? As there is, appears to be no discussion, we will proceed to the vote. Will all those in favor please raise one of your hands? Thank you. Would all those opposed please raise one of your hands? Thank you. The motion passes. Thank you, Eric. I now direct your attention to ALA Council document number 25.1 and call upon James Reddick, Chair. Oh, I'm so sorry. Thank you. Mark your ballot, CD number 7. I now direct your attention to ALA Council document number 25.1 and call upon James Reddick, Chair, for his report. Since it appears that Jim Reddick is not here, with your permission, I will move to the next item in the agenda. Thank you. I will now direct your attention to ALA Council Document Number 37, ALA Strategic Directions, and call upon ALA Immediate Past President Barbara K. Stripling to present the document. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, colleagues. I'm pleased to move for approval Council Document Number 37, the ALA Strategic Directions Document. This plan was submitted to Council for your consideration and approval by ALA Executive Board and ALA President Courtney Young on May 26th. The document, which will replace the ALA 2015 plan, which runs through this year, represents 2 years of effort and the work of thousands of individual members. Planning began with a series of conversations with members about their aspirations for our association and for libraries, and about how we might work together to best achieve these aspirations. These conversations involved dozens of member kitchen table conversations, many chapter forums around the country, a series of 3 virtual town hall meetings, and discussions with divisions, roundtables, committees, affiliates, ALA Council, and ALA-wide Planning and Budget Assembly. The Strategic Directions document reflects the synthesis of those conversations and the many thoughtful comments and suggestions we received. It also reflects the hard work of ALA committees, divisions, roundtables, chapters, and affiliates, all of whom contributed to the plan. This plan contains many elements that are familiar to you. ALA's mission remains unchanged, as does our continuing commitment to literacy, intellectual freedom, diversity, equity of access, the improvement of library services for all, and the promotion of public policies which protect and increase access to information. The plan also builds on our organizational values and the key action areas, which have been approved by ALA Council as programmatic priorities each year, and which have evolved, actually, over time. Within this framework, the strategic directions and their attendant goals and strategies represent areas of interest and areas of focus for the next 3 to 5 years. We've tried to articulate the outcomes that we would like to achieve and to answer the question, what would success look like? The strategies then articulate how we would move toward the achievement of the goals in the strategic directions. For each of the strategic directions, and there are three, just to remind you, advocacy, information policy, and professional and leadership development. For each one of those directions, key stakeholders, including council committees, divisions, roundtables, chapters, and affiliates, have helped develop specific implementation plans that will further outline objectives, supporting each one of the strategies, and specific tactics that we are going to use to achieve those objectives. This means that we've already done a lot of the thinking work. While the goals and strategies are long-term, the objectives and tactics in the implementation plans will be updated on an ongoing basis. We want to be flexible. That's one of the things we heard in all of our conversations. And so we will have a continuous process of updating the implementation plan, but have a very clear focus on the strategic directions. Last, as was noted when the document was shared with councilors earlier this week, two additions are now included in the document, and these are both based on the very most recent member comments when we posted it online. You will notice on page 2, we added housing status to the equitable access piece, and on page 6, we broadened the perspective of librarians and libraries representing their communities to the world around them, knowing that not every community is as diverse as we expect the profession to be. Given the challenges and opportunities facing libraries and librarians today, we believe that this new plan and strategic directions will help us build a stronger association and stronger libraries for all.
Thank you. Is there any discussion on the report? If there is no discussion, we will move to the action items. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. Microphone number 6.
Sorry, Mike Marlin, Councillor at Large. I heard from several members, and I don't recall if this was part of the comments or not that were received over the last 6 months. Excuse me. But I don't have it in front of me, but there was a clause right after the reflecting the communities that surround them that said the goal of is organizational and individual change. And several people said that they didn't think that this was really a goal, change just for change's sake. And they objected to that and wondered if the executive board would be willing to take a look and possibly change that to maybe a more material or attainable type of goal rather than just change for the sake of change. And I'm sorry, I'm not being as clear as I could, but I just wanted to relay that.
I found the spot, Mike. The outcome of learning is individual and organizational change, and so it is focused, you're right, on the learning, the professional and leadership development So I see where your comment is coming from.
Microphone six.
Mike Marlin, Counselor at Large. Thank you, Barbara. I think what they were suggesting is that they think maybe the outcome of learning is knowledge and not necessarily change, and maybe we could consider that as a housekeeping detail.
I've been advised that when we get to the motion on the floor that we can consider that change.
Do I need to make a motion?
Not yet.
Okay. Thank you.
Is there any further discussion on the report? We will now move to the action item.
I move the adoption of Council Document 37, Strategic Directions for ALA.
Is there any discussion on the motion?
And
I think what you all are advising me is that there is something, but to give you a moment, so. Microphone five.
Larry Romans, Counselor at Large. I'm wondering if we couldn't postpone consideration of this for a half an hour while we get the complete changes in written form that Lois, Ann, and Danielle can put on the overheads.
They're ready.
With your permission, Jim Reddick has joined us. We could set this aside, allow Jim to do his report, and then come back to this item. Is that okay? Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Microphone number five.
I think what Jim Neal, a member of the executive board, I think what Mike has suggested is primarily, I don't know if he would agree with this, textual. It's not central to the action that we're proposing. I wish that we could just accept the addition of language that he would prepare about the knowledge objective of learning. I think there is value in organizational and individual change as a byproduct of learning. And so I don't know whether we need to go through this process if we are willing to accept this as part of the language of the document. It's not material, in my view, to the priorities that we're setting.
So does council agree that the I'll add addition so that statement says the outcome of learning is individual and organizational knowledge and change, or is it a replacement of change with knowledge? We've got it. So, microphone six.
Jane Glasby, Councillor at Large, speaking on behalf of Mike Marlin. The suggestion is the outcome of learning is individual and organized, is knowledge, sorry, start again. The outcome of learning is knowledge supporting positive individual and organizational change. So insert knowledge supporting positive.
Is there any objection? Okay, so I will invite immediate past president Barbara K. Stripling back to the podium. It's the opening general session all over again.
It wouldn't happen if you hadn't left.
Is there any further discussion on the motion? Okay, there appears to be no more discussion, so we will proceed to the vote. Will all those in favor please raise one of your hands? Will all those opposed please raise one of your hands? Thank you. The motion passes. Please mark your ballot. CD number 37. ALA strategic directions as amended. Thank you, Barbara. I now redirect your attention to ALA Council Document Number 25.1 and call James Reddick, Chair, Constitution and Bylaws, to report. Good morning, Jim.
Thank you, President Young. I apologize for my tardiness. It was easy to get across Market Street. Finding my way out of the Hilton Union Square was a different story. The Constitution and Bylaws Committee brings one action item to you today, and it all has to do with Sections 1 and 2 of Article 10 of the Constitution. If you want to see the current text of those two sections, refer to page 1 on document 25.1. And to see the action item, you turn to page 4. The purpose of, in effect, rewriting those two sections is not substantive, but for the sake of clarity. I was tempted at one point a couple weeks ago to brush off my high school sentence diagramming skills to try to understand sentence number 1 in section 1. I resisted that urge because I would have just learned that I don't remember as much about diagramming as I think I do. However, the committee met yesterday, and we came up with multiple interpretations of just what that current wording might mean, and who's acting in which direction, about affiliation, is affiliate a verb, or is affiliate a verb in this case, or is affiliate an adjective or a noun. What we came up with was a brief substitute for each of those two sections of Article 10. We think that we have, thanks to the research and the historical documentation that the ALA Library helped us find, we think we've understood what the intent of each of those is, and we think our recommended substitution to amend these two sections clarifies and expresses that intent without changing it in any way. Since all of that was created in some uncertain year after the 1920s, the executive board weighed in on the affiliation issue, and in the first appendix to the document, it shows you what procedures are followed to, in effect, vet a request from another organization to affiliate with ALA. There's a role for the executive board, there's a role for the Constitution and Bylaws Committee, at which point any request for affiliation that has gone through that vetting process successfully would then be presented to the council to approve or not approve as it sees fit. So what I bring to you is on page four, section E, an action item. The process for amending the Constitution requires council at two consecutive meetings at least 2 months apart, i.e. an annual and a following midwinter or vice versa, to approve the same text twice. And it then goes on the ballot for the membership to approve or disapprove. The parliamentarian has advised me that if council approves this today and then it comes back at midwinter and the wording is amended, that will reset the clock. So if any wording needs to be massaged, today's a good time to do it from that point of view. So let me present the action. Resolve that the following amendment to the ALA Constitution be approved so that at the 2016 midwinter meeting, council can consider placing the amendment on the spring 2016 ballot for the membership's vote. Amend Article 10 of the ALA Constitution to state Section 1, national or international organizations having purposes similar to those of the association or to one or more of the association's subdivisions may request to become an affiliate of the association. Requests for affiliation are subject to Council's approval. Section 2, the association or any subdivision thereof may request to become an affiliate with national or international organizations having purposes similar to those of the association or to one or more of the association's subdivisions. However, no subdivision of the association may separately affiliate itself with an organization with which the association is affiliated.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Microphone 5.
Jim Neal, Executive Board. Jim, I have three questions. First, is there a place in the Constitution where subdivision is defined?
I am not aware of one. This is carryover language from early 20th century.
Then I would find the resolution as worded problematic. I think we should somehow address that because we're a very large, complex organization with many units and working groups and committees and so forth. So I think it's worthy of consideration. Second, does Section 2 require council approval? Is the decision by the association or subdivision of the association to affiliate, does that require council approval? Section 1 talks about someone who wants to affiliate with us.
Yes, that's an omission that we need to correct.
Okay.
And there is also another wrinkle to that. If there's going to be money involved, it'll have to take the detour through BARC before council could act.
Then I would recommend that those two elements be considered by the committee. My third question is Section 2 indicates that a subdivision cannot affiliate if the association is already affiliated. But can a subdivision independently under Section 2 affiliate?
Our interpretation is no.
Okay. That's not clear from the language.
Okay.
Microphone 4.
Bernie Margolis, Councillor at Large. I'm going to vote to support this. Thank you for your work, Jim. But I want to be sure that the record reflects, I think, what is probably even more important than changing the Constitution or improving the Constitution, and that is that a library is once again credited with improving our world and hopefully improving our ALA Constitution, a library.
Microphone 6.
Al Kagan, CERT Counselor. I'm very happy that Jim got up to say that because, in fact, there are existing affiliations with subunits. There certainly is one with the Social Responsibilities Roundtable. And I think, therefore, this is not just housekeeping, that it's actually a policy change. And I would like us to look at it as a policy change in that context. And I would specifically like to ask if roundtables are considered subdivisions. And if so, what would happen to existing affiliations if we pass this? Would they be grandmothered in? Would they have to be renegotiated? How would this work?
Subdivisions, as I mentioned, is not defined precisely. It's fairly generic. The list of current ALA affiliates is listed in Appendix 2 that comes off of the ALA website. And it does not state whether or not any of these are at the subdivision level that these organizations are affiliated with ALA. These are organizations that have come to ALA and asked to affiliate. If there's a list of subdivisions, divisions, roundtables, whatever's within ALA that have established an affiliate relationship with some external organization, I don't know that list exists. I haven't found it.
Microphone 4.
Move to ref. I'm sorry.
Microphone 4.
Actually, this is about you. Jennifer Bocharusa, Counselor. I was wondering if Jim's comment about needing it to be referred back, could that be done now before we vote on it?
Yes.
So that's what I'm suggesting, that we refer this back to the committee for clarification.
So are you moving to refer?
Yes.
Do you have a second? Yes. Okay. Our discussion is now on the motion to refer. Is there any discussion on the motion to refer this action item back to Constitution and Bylaws? Microphone 7.
John Sandstrom, Counselor at Large. I would speak in favor of the motion to refer because I see that there are some changes that need to be made here that are intertwined with other things that need to be looked at in the Constitution, and I think we may want to make all of those changes at once because they're all so interrelated. Things like the definition of subdivision and what may or may not happen with associations that are already in existence, affiliations that are already in existence. Thank you.
Microphone two.
Andrew Pace, Counselor at Large. I'd just like to make sure that we're clear on what we're referring back so we don't have the same conversation again and the committee can make sure they're getting everything that they need in the reference back.
We're referring the entire, well, it's not on the screen anymore. Yeah, we're referring the entire proposal back to Constitution and bylaws. Microphone two.
Andrew Pace, Counselor at Large. Jim, do you know what needs to be done?
Well, the question that Counselor Sandstrom raised about ongoing affiliation, if an organization pays its dues every year and they're on an annual cycle based upon the month at which they initially paid them, they remain an affiliate. That's somewhere in the bylaws. I can't cite it off the top of my head. There is no review process of affiliates in place. That would be a policy issue. That would be outside the purview of the Constitution and Bylaws Committee's charge.
Microphone four.
Mario Gonzalez, ALA Treasurer. I'd like to understand that by referring this back to Constitution and Bylaws Committee, we're resetting the clock so that we won't be able to vote on this at midwinter, but only at next annual?
If I'm able to get in touch with the committee members today to tweak this, this could be ready again for tomorrow.
Microphone seven.
John Sandstrom, Counselor at Large. I'm sorry it wasn't clear. I was not referring to groups that are affiliating with us. I'm referring to groups that we are affiliating with. If I read Section 2 correctly, subdivisions may affiliate with other organizations without any kind of approval from ALA, from council, or from the association as a whole. The bar is against affiliating independently if the entire association has already affiliated.
Section 2 refers to that. The way it is written, and this goes back to a version that's been in the handbook for a number of years, it allows for that outreach to another organization from within ALA, including the ambiguous subdivision. A subdivision could do this. The executive director has informed me that the list in Appendix 2 is the complete list of affiliations formed in either direction.
Okay, thank you.
Microphone 5.
Larry Romans, Counselor at Large. Jim Neal came up with three different concerns, and some other folks have come up with concerns, and I think it's enough change, enough proposed change, that it, I support the referral, and we've survived without having these changes for years and years. Even if we reset the clock, I don't think the association will fall apart.
Seeing as there is no one else at the microphone, I'd like to move to the vote on the motion to refer. For all those in favor of referring this back to Constitution and Bylaws, please raise one of your hands. Thank you. All those opposed, please raise one of your hands. Thank you. The motion passes. Please mark your ballot, CD 25.1, refer back to CBL committee.
I will see what the committee can accomplish. You may hear back tomorrow, you may not. And in addition to what Councillor Margolis said, it was a reference question that gave the library the opportunity to provide good information to us. So we depend upon our patrons for our jobs.
Thank you, Jim. The chair now refers you to ALA Council Document 15.1 through 15.2 and called upon ALA Executive Director Keith Michael Fields to review the Executive Board actions taken since the 2015 Midwinter Meeting in Chicago, Illinois.
Thank you, President Young. Okay. I draw your attention to Council Document 15.1. I'll just highlight a couple of items in the action summary of the board actions at the midwinter and since the last conference. First of all, we've talked about the United for Libraries group membership, which was approved and which will have an impact on ALA membership beginning on September 1st, and I did talk a little bit about that at the information session. The number of endowment trustees has been expanded from 6 to 7. The board, on an annual basis, reviews and approves a list of companies with the Domini and TIA CREF portfolio of socially responsible companies. And this is used as the criteria by which the ALA Development Office and other units use to prospect for corporate partners, sponsors, and donors in support of our mission. Various appointments were made, including the appointments to the various IFLA section committees, and these came through the International Relations Committee. The number of Spectrum scholarships, as the Treasurer reported, will be increased from 50 to 60 beginning in 2016 and will continue for the next 3 years. In addition, funds have been made available to help support the administration of this program, because the support for the scholars is really something that makes Spectrum something that's much more significant than just a scholarship program. And then also the approval of the preliminary 2016 budget, which has been forwarded to Council as part of the presentations that were made, in addition to a number of other budgetary matters.
Are there any questions? If there are no questions, we'll move to ALA Council Document 9. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Yep.
Microphone 4.
Jennifer Bocher, RUSA Counselor. I'm wondering, do you know if the federal the GPO did take your suggestion on who should be the public printer?
I have not heard any news. Is Emily or anyone from Committee on Legislation here?
Yes. I'd like to invite ALA Washington Office Executive Director Emily Shekatoff. Microphone 2.
And what would you like me to answer?
Was the suggestion for GPO, did they take the suggestion?
In the letter we sent them? Mm-hmm. I'm not aware that we have heard back yet. But I will let Keith know, and he will be able to report to you tomorrow.
Okay.
Great.
Thank you. Okay. There are no further questions. We will move to ALA Council Document 9.1, which is the implementation report of Council's 2015 Midwinter Meeting actions. The chair will again call upon Keith to respond to any questions about the report.
Great. I will highlight just a couple of items. Obviously, the Robert's Rules of Order was approved by the membership, and we're in the process of implementing that. And our parliamentarian has been very helpful in helping us to provide the documents that are going to help those people using the rules of order to successfully implement the changes involved. The resolution on encouraging trustees and United for Libraries membership, we just announced again yesterday some significant success in bringing Michigan into our program, and we're continuing to push ahead until we have all 50 states. And then last of all, the resolution on the Charlie Hebdo. And I did share with all of you the communication we received back from the office of the French president.
Are there any questions for Keith on the implementation report? Okay, thank you, Keith. Council, with your permission, would now be a good time for us to take a brief 10-minute break? Yes, okay. We will take 10 minutes, please. Thank you. Thank you, councilors, for returning to your seats in the front of the room. The chair now calls upon Larry Romans, chair of the Resolutions Committee, to inform council of any policy implications related to the following membership resolutions, which are now ALA Council Document Number 36 and ALA Council Document Number 43. Microphone number 5.
Larry Romans, Councillor at Large. There are no policy implications in that it won't affect anything in the policy manual. Obviously, it will affect the way that ALA is viewed, depending upon whether you approve or do not approve these resolutions.
Thank you. I will now read the resolve clauses. Clause of ALA Council Document 36. Apologies. Microphone number 6.
Yes. Point of Mike Marlin, Councillor at Large. Point of information, if I could. I wonder if we could tell the guests in the room where to find these documents, because my understanding is that there are no longer any print copies, and even some of the councillors who reserved print copies showed up and they weren't available, so, which is a separate matter, but I wonder if we could just tell them that they can go to the ALA Connect site. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, these are on the ALA. They're all on Connect.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. I will now read the resolve clause of ALA Council Document Number 36, Resolution on the Importance of Sustainable Libraries. The membership voted that, resolved that the American Library Association, ALA, on behalf of its members, one, recognizes the important and unique role of role libraries play in wider community conversations about resiliency, climate change, and a sustainable future, and begins a new era of thinking sustainably in order to consider the economic, environmental, and socially equitable viability of choices made on behalf of the association. Two, enthusiastically encourages activities by itself, its membership, library schools and state associations to be proactive in their application of sustainable thinking in the areas of their facilities, operations, policy, technology, programming, partnerships, and library school curricula. And three, directs the ALA Executive Director to pursue sustainable choices when planning conferences and meetings and to actively promote best practices of sustainability through ALA publications, research, and educational opportunities to reach our shared goal of vital, visible, and viable libraries for the future. Is there any discussion on the resolution? Microphone 3.
Yes, good morning. I'm Rocco Steno, the New York chapter counselor. I'd just like to mention that this resolution is modeled after a successful New York Library Association resolution on the importance of sustainable libraries. NYLR believes that this resolution is designed to strengthen the mission and core values of the American Library Association. I'd like to also remind the council that 94% of the attendees of the ALA virtual membership meeting with an attendance of over 300 voted yes on this resolution. Sustainability is defined as the capacity to endure, and we as librarians must go deeper to instill the value of sustainability throughout all we do to ensure access to information for all. We also need library leaders that understand our role in the growing sustainable community, in growing sustainable communities. We need library buildings that are built with an eye towards the energy and operational efficiencies that will keep operating costs down, respect the use of our natural resources, and provide healthy indoor atmospheres that are conducive to learning and library workers' health. We need to engage to support the hopes and dreams and aspirations of the communities we serve in order to consider consider essential to the future success of society. We can no longer talk the talk. We need to walk the walk. This resolution is a call to action for our association to lead the way. Thank you.
Microphone 4.
Jennifer Gallant. Roundtable counselor, the Sustainable Roundtable enthusiastically and wholeheartedly supports this resolution for all the reasons that Rocco just said. Thank you.
Microphone 3.
Christian Zabriskie, counselor at large. I'd like to inform council that Urban Librarians Unite supports this resolution and feels it makes a positive impact on conversations about our libraries as part of the larger community ecosystems. Thank you.
Microphone 4.
Jennifer Bocher-Russo, counselor. I'm wondering about what the role of this, where we are asking the executive director to make these changes, would it make it a higher priority? Because sometimes you cannot, the sustainable choice is that none of us would be here and it would always be a virtual meeting. I'm just wondering about how to take this into prioritizing when decision-making is going on.
Microphone 4.
Gary Schaefer, counselor at large. I would like to support this and remind, or at least point out to my fellow counselors, that the World Commission on Environment and Development, UN initiative in 1987, adopted similar things in relation to what's called triple bottom line sustainability. And I want to point out that this is not just about the environment, it's about economic, environmental, and societal changes. And certainly, a lot of times in my scholarship in this area, sustainability for libraries is defined as survivability. And I think it really should be about, I think this resolution talks to the fact that we are about thriving into the 21st century. So I wholeheartedly support this. And I think it's very fitting that 70 years ago in San Francisco, the UN was formed. It's a major part of what the UN supports. And I think it's high time for libraries to adopt this as well. Thank you.
Microphone 6.
Good morning, Doug Lehman. I'm the ACRL Divisional Counselor. I've shared this with the ACRL Executive Board, and they enthusiastically support this as well. So I just want to say that I will be supporting this resolution as also. Thank you.
Microphone 7.
John Sandstrom, Counselor at Large. I do support this. I don't want to quibble about that. I've had the pleasure of working on a green building project that we got a gold certification. However, I wonder if we are directing the ALA executive director to pursue sustainable choices et cetera, in Section 3. Does this have a BARC implication, and do we need to refer it there?
Let me say that I think that to attempt to analyze this would present some significant difficulties. BARC, and I don't, I'll, if the BARC chair wants to speak, I think that the notion of pursuing sustainable choices means that we factor this in to our decision making, that we understand the direction that we're trying to go. I do believe that the sustainability of the association is also part of the long-term goal of sustainable communities, so that at every point we do have, we balance various decisions. But I think that the direction that this suggests is something that we can implement. And at every point as you make decisions, you're making various kinds of trade-offs. And I think this needs to be a key factor in how we just approach everything we do. So I think we're, I know that all of us would embrace this with enthusiasm. It gets us going in a direction that we need to be going in. Or let me put it this way, we're already going in that direction, and I think it articulates it.
If there's no further discussion, we will proceed to the vote. Will all those in favor please raise one of your hands? Thank you. Will all those opposed please raise one of your hands? The motion passes. Please mark your ballot CD number 36. I will now read the resolve clause of ALA Council Document number 43, a resolution denouncing the systemic racism that motivated the South Carolina shootings. Resolved that the American Library Association, ALA, on behalf of its members, 1, denounces the racially and politically motivated shooting at Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal AME Church at Charleston, South Carolina, on the evening of Wednesday, June 17, 2015. 2, recognizes the hidden, endemic, and pervasive nature of systemic racism in American culture. 3, will strengthen and prioritize its own efforts to support diversity and foster cultural understanding and humility within our profession. And 4, will work with other professional associations to enable librarians and information organizations to expand our collective understanding of the hidden systemic nature of racism in American culture and its potential for violence. Is there any discussion? Microphone 3.
Nick Buron, Councilor at Large. While I rise in support of this, I do. I would like to make a motion to amend one section. And considering how I've learned there's no friendly motion, I would like to ask for that. So often we do these resolution clauses, and we continue to put librarians when we really should be putting library staff or library workers to be more inclusive of not only our profession, but if we really are looking to expand our base, we really should apply it in this case. I would like a friendly motion to move to make enable librarians to enable library staff. If not, I'm prepared for a motion.
I am advised that putting it in writing provides us with clarity for where you want those changes made.
I will move. I need a second. Thank you.
Okay.
Can I just read number 4?
It will help me because this is the only copy I'm operating.
So I will read number 4. Resolved, number 4, will work with other professional associations to enable library staff and information organizations to expand our collective understanding of the hidden systemic nature of racism in American culture and its potential for violence. It's being brought over now.
So as soon as we see the change of librarians in Resolve Clause 4 to library staff. Okay. Is there any objection to this change? No, okay. With consent, we will add it. Microphone 5.
Point of information, am I speaking to this motion? Have we completed that?
We have added it by consent. So okay. We're speaking to the main motion with that change. We're speaking to it as amended.
Well, I wanted to make a statement where the resolution 43 was discussed yesterday.
Yes, and we're still discussing that resolution. And now that they've brought it back on the screen, please identify yourself and speak to this resolution.
I'm Mary Biblum, counselor at large. And I was at the membership meeting yesterday. And when the membership meeting was ended, I was severely criticized for not supporting this resolution. Democracy, the systemic racism that motivated the South Carolina shooting. I incorrectly assumed, after 60 years of struggle and 30 years at ALE Council, it was not necessary for me to speak up. But I was wrong. The struggle never ends. Therefore, I want everyone to know in this room that I support this resolution. Furthermore, I am challenging every Black counselor to state their position on this resolution. Do not assume that our colleagues know from whence you come.
Microphone 7.
John Sandstrom, Counselor at Large. I support a resolution denouncing the systemic racism that motivated the South Carolina shooting. However, I cannot and am not comfortable supporting the first resolved. As a policymaking body, we should be focusing on the bigger picture. Why are we focusing on denouncing racially and politically motivated shooting at one location? This has happened more than once. It's happened in more than one place. And it's not just that one place that needs to be denounced. It's all systemic racism and all institutional racism that needs to be denounced. And if I can find a second, I will move it to strike the first resolved.
Microphone 6.
Majid Qadir, West Virginia Chapter Counselor and a member of the Task Force on Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. The Task Force met yesterday, and we endorse this resolution.
Thank you. I know that there was a question. The motion has not been proposed yet. It's as soon as... Yes. Thank you for keeping me on track. Microphone 5.
Brenda Perudana said, Counselor at Large, I support this resolution. I support item 1 of this resolution because I think with the incident that occurred in South Carolina, now we see the problem. For the last 200-300 years, there's been a problem of this type of racism, but now we can see the issue, and this is opening our eyes. So I say it makes the statement, the proposal, stronger by leaving it in place. Thank you.
Thank you. Microphone 3.
Nick Buron, Counselor at Large. I usually prefer the general, we are against this, we are for this. I think this is something, being that has happened in the last week and a half, that one of our own has been affected by this, that we can come out of this conference very strong,
by taking an issue of something that has happened in the last couple of weeks that shows that we are against this in general. But this is something that we want to address right now because it is the issue today and it would have great impact.
Microphone three.
Daniel Cornwell, last year chapter counselor. And I'm voting against the amendment, mostly for the reasons that Nick said.
The amendment hasn't been proposed yet. Oh. Is it up? I apologize. Yeah. May I ask that the mover of the amendment make that motion so that you can speak to it? Is Councillor Sandstrom ready to speak to your motion? Okay. Are there people at the microphone who are all waiting to speak to the amendment? Microphone number 7.
Sorry for the delay. John Sandstrom, Councillor at Large. I was informed that we would also need to change the title, so I had to add that to the motion and make sure it was clear, okay, with the person who seconded. Okay. Speaking to it, and I think I've already sort of said my piece on that, even though one of our fellow librarians, and I had met Ms. Hurd before, was unfortunately and horribly murdered in that situation, I still do not believe that the specific event needs to be referenced in the resolution, in the resolved, because we are talking to the general, the wide, the systemic, the institutional, not the one instance. We should be talking about all the instances. Thank you.
Point of order, microphone 5.
Order, Jane Glasby, Councillor at Large. I'd like Councillor Sandstrom to read the change to the title, please, and perhaps about, I don't know if he needs to refer to the striking the resolve.
I was about to ask for clarification on what was being moved. Microphone 7.
John Sandstrom, Councillor at Large. The motion is to change the title of the resolution, dropping the word to resolution denouncing systemic racism, and to strike the first resolved.
Okay. Yes. Now we are now speaking to the motion to amend. Microphone 3.
Thank you, Madam President. Daniel Cornwall, Alaska Chapter Counselor. So I am against this amendment, partly because I think it is difficult to denounce systemic racism without providing even a single example. And I think it's probably fair to say that if a librarian had not been gunned down in Charleston, we wouldn't be considering this resolution today. Thank you.
Microphone 6.
Al Kagan, CERT Counselor. I differ with John. I think that it's extremely important for ALA to rise to the occasion when the occasion presents itself and to do something specific. And I think we have seen a very strange, some kind of a disease that's come over the council the last years. When I first came into ALA, we had no problem with addressing specific events. All of a sudden, in the last years, we don't want to address anything specific. We just want to write general principles. But general principles are fine, but you have to implement them. And when we get to the point of lobbying, when we get to the point of telling the world who we are, what we do, we need to address specific instances. And I think we saw the same thing, for example, when we addressed whistleblowers. When we council actually endorsed Edward Snowden as a whistleblower, and then all of a sudden we were told, oh, we can't address a specific case. Now, there's something really wrong with that kind of thinking. This is the same example. the thinking that is behind not addressing specific questions and events that come up is actually something that is hurting this organization, this association. We need to step up when specific things happen and add our voice to current events as they happen. Thank you.
Councillor Kagan, with respect, your characterization of the council is not appropriate. Microphone 3.
Stephanie Bronstein, Louisiana chapter councillor. I also speak against the amendment. Before I became a librarian, I taught English composition. And as some people have already noted, this incident being included is an excellent example. If I had had a student turn in a paper that talked about institutional, can't even think of the word, systemic, that's right, racism, I would have said you need to give specific examples. And I think that's what this does for this particular document. Thank you.
Microphone number 4.
Jennifer Bocher, Rusa Counselor. I am in support of this because it's not one event for systemic racism. It's Ferguson. It's Baltimore. It's all of these other places in the South and in the North that has systemic racism. And to just point out to one event makes it sound like it's very isolated. And by taking this out, it really does make it more national issue.
Microphone 3.
Chris Corrigan, DCLA chapter counselor. Pardon my ignorance, but when I hear, and if somebody could please clarify this for me, when I hear systemic racism, I think I'm hearing institutionalized racism in that, and I think that in this case, what I've been hearing in the media is that they're using Charleston as an example of overt racism, where institutionalized racism is more ambiguous, and some people are saying that it exists, and some people are saying that it isn't, and I guess where I'm coming from is I feel like if we're talking about institutionalized racism versus overt racism, which is what happened in Charleston, I think they're two different things. Thank you.
Microphone number 3.
Ismail Abdullahi, Councillor at Large. I'm against this amendment because this resolution is particularly made for the tragedy that has happened in South Carolina. We can talk about systemic racism in details in another resolution if it is required. But now we should not deny those tragedies that has happened to those fellow citizens that has happened. So I'm against this amendment, both in terms of the title as well as item 1.
Microphone number 2.
Tammy Turner, Counselor at Large. This is my first time addressing council, so forgive me if I sound nervous. So I also agree that even with the changes, that this isn't going to be an adequate enough change. I think that the whereas clauses is where we should have some more specific examples so that it's more global and it encompasses more than just one event. I also taught English, and I think resolutions are more like your thesis statement, where you're going to say, these are, you know, the first part I think we need to include that we denounce racially and politically motivated violence without a specific example, leave the other resolutions as they are, and then have our support in the whereas clauses showing all of these other examples as well. I think that we aren't denying or we're not saying that it didn't happen by leaving it out of the resolutions. I think we'd have better support just having it elsewhere.
Microphone 3.
Sorry, I'm tall. Lauren Comito, Councillor at Large. I'm standing up against this amendment. I think that there are many ways to add to this resolution that might be better. We could say that we denounce the racially and politically motivated shooting at the AME church and other racially motivated violence, while still including the most recent example, and then also acknowledging that there are so many other examples, including in the last week, but somewhere between 3 and 6 African-American churches being burned down. So I absolutely stand against removing the specific example, but there's absolutely no reason why we couldn't add "and other racially motivated violence" to include everything, because it is so systemic and societal. Thank you.
Microphone 5.
Jane Glasby, Councillor at Large. I'd like to support what Councillor Comito just said, and I'd just like to point out that if you name one example, it doesn't preclude the existence of other examples. And so in terms of the wording of it, I don't see any reason for removing the particular example. And I'd like to address Councillor Corrigan's remarks when we get to talking on the whole motion. Thanks. Okay.
Microphone 5.
Dorcas Hand, Councillor at Large. It's also the first time I've done this. I don't want to remove the number one, but I do think it could be reworded. And one idea I had was to say, denounces racially and politically motivated shootings as exemplified at Emmanuel African, etc. I don't know what the proper procedure is, but I'll just put that out there.
We will deal with the current amendment, and then we can proceed. Seeing as there is a councillor approaching microphone 5, microphone 5, please.
Larry Romans, councillor at large. This is my first time, too. the problem with accepting this amendment is that you still have the whereases, two different whereases that refer to the specific situation, and then there's no longer a resolve to go with those whereases. And you shouldn't put in whereases if you don't have a resolve that's going to deal with those. So I'm against this amendment.
Okay. May we now proceed to the vote on this amendment? Would all those in favor of the amendment please raise one of your hands? Thank you. Would all those opposed please raise one of your hands? The motion is defeated. The amendment is defeated. Please mark your ballot, amend title, and strike first resolved of CD number 43AA. We will now return to, it's a long one. They needed a little bit longer. Could we have the, thank you. Are we ready to proceed? Could people copy off their neighbors? Are we now ready to proceed? Thank you. We will now return to the resolution denouncing the systemic racism that motivated the South Carolina shooting. Our discussion, microphone 5.
Is now the right time to offer this alternate wording?
Yes. Want to introduce yourself again.
Oh, yes. Dorcas Hand, Councillor at Large.
Thank you.
I move that resolution number 1 read instead, denounces racially and politically motivated shootings as exemplified by the rest as worded presently.
Do you have a second for your amendment?
Steve Matthews.
Yes.
Justine
Nope. Microphone five.
Sorry. It just seemed the simplest way to accomplish both goals of generalizing and maintaining the specific reference. Because I do think the specific is important. It's true that we wouldn't be doing this conversation at all if Charleston hadn't happened. But it's also true that we need to speak to the much bigger question.
Microphone two.
Good morning, Tom Barthelmess, Councillor at Large. I don't know if I can make a friendly amendment to an amendment, but we've already had invocations of the recent burnings in churches, and I think I would suggest number one read denounces racially and politically motivated violence exemplified in the shooting at and go that way. I don't know where.
With your permission, could you bring that up as soon as we're able to see it on the screen, since we have one change?
Absolutely.
And another change? Thank you. I appreciate it. Microphone five.
Jenny Moore, Councillor at Large. I would like to support the amendment that is being proposed at this time. It keeps us with the timeliness of the matter, the whole matter of both violence and our concern for the racism, et cetera. And I would like very much to support this amendment and the one that's coming up, too, that was friendly. Thank you.
Microphone number five.
Larry Romans. Is there any reason why we, like we did before, we can't consider this sort of a housekeeping thing that violence and shooting still get at the same idea rather than having an amendment to an amendment?
We could adopt it by unanimous consent, but I have a sense that it would be helpful for councilors to see what it is they would be adopting by unanimous consent, or well. Could the mover of this amendment go? Okay. I guess during this time, I will take a point of personal privilege. Some of you have noticed that I'm wearing this lovely rainbow sash. Our colleagues in the GLBT Roundtable are representing all of us in the parade this morning, and as a member of that roundtable, myself, was very surprised that the chair-elect, Peter Coyle, presented me with this sash, noting that, because my schedule is just a little bit busy, that I wouldn't be able to get to the parade, so he brought a little bit of the parade to me, so... So the changes have come up on the screen, and the first resolve clause reads, denounces racially and politically motivated shootings as exemplified by the incident at Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina, on the evening of Wednesday, June 17, 2015. Microphone five.
Larry Romans. So, with unanimous consent, can we change motivated shootings to violence? Yes.
Is there any objections? No objections. Microphone three.
Nick Buron, Councillor at Large. Can we then change incident, this generic incident thing that seems not to have as much power as actually shooting, so that it's denounced racially and politically motivated violence as exemplified by the shooting at?
Yes. Any objections to the change in the first resolve clause? Okay, so we accept that by consent. So we can now return to discussing this resolution as amended. Microphone 5.
Liz Bischoff, ASCLA counselor. I guess this is, I don't want to muddy the waters, but with the change we just made, do we now need to change the title? Okay.
Are we ready to move to the vote? Would all those in favor of the resolution as amended please raise one of your hands? Thank you. Would all those opposed please raise one of your hands? The motion passes. Please mark your ballot. Since you can't improvise, I won't improvise. CD 43AA. I now direct your attention to ALA Council Document Number 40, Revised, Resolution on Libraries and Schools Affected by the Conflict in the Gaza and Israel in 2014. Would Councillor Jane Glasby please go to the microphone and read only the resolve clause of ALA Council Document Number 40, Resolved. Revised. Microphone 6.
Jane Glasby, Councillor at Large, and I too am full of pride to be here today in San Francisco. Resolved that the American Library Association, ALA, 1, deplores the destruction and damage of cultural institutions, including schools and libraries, in Gaza and Israel during the recent conflict there. 2, deplores the use of schools for storing or firing weapons. 3, calls again for the protection of libraries and cultural resources in the Middle East and urges the U.S. government to support the United States Committee of the Blue Shield in upholding the 1954 Hague Convention for the Protection of Cultural Property in the Event of Armed Conflict, and 4, calls upon the government of the United States, as well as other governments, intergovernmental organizations, and non-governmental organizations to provide material assistance for the reconstruction and restoration of these libraries and schools.
Would you like to speak to your motion?
Yes, please. At midwinter, I brought a similar resolution to council, and we discussed it. And there's been a lot of there was a lot of discussion about the fact that the resolution was not even handed, and why we didn't include other places where libraries had been destroyed, and that there wasn't, and that some of our sources were from a biased source. And we've also been and talked to various people about some little parts of changing it. So I think that what we've come up with is we've tried to incorporate people's suggestions. As you can see in the title, we've included that the resolution of the conflict affected Israel as well as Gaza, and that you can see that in the resolved clauses that we've acknowledged that schools were used for storing and firing weapons, and also that there was some destruction in Israel. So I'm hoping that that will make people feel better about it being even-handed, although I would like to point out that we've had a UN report that basically supported what we were saying at midwinter. And the numbers are, if anything, worse than what we reported at midwinter. And I would also like to repeat that if people think that it's uneven and unbalanced, that's because the situation on the ground is very unbalanced. The resolution is calling for support for rebuilding of cultural institutions and libraries and schools. And I think that we could stand behind that as a library association, and we could also stand against the destruction of libraries and schools. Thank you.
Microphone 4.
Good morning. My name is Andrew Wertheimer, chapter counselor from Hawaii. Now, I've been a council member for several years, but rarely come to the microphone. Part of that is because I'm not a morning person, and Hawaii time, it's really early morning. But another thing is that I think that we spend a lot of time at council talking about a lot of issues that are not always as core to our profession, that there are a lot of, at a time when we have a lot of crises in libraries. So that's been why I haven't spoken so much. However, today I'm rising and I'm going to take my 3 minutes because I'd like to ask you to firmly reject this resolution, and I'll try to explain some of my reasons. As a point of personal information, I'm a secular Jew. You might say that that makes me biased, but also I've also been a social responsibility member or advocate for most of my professional career and think that that's an important part of what we do. So briefly, I ask you to defeat this resolution for several reasons. One, it was not supported by the Intellectual Freedom Committee, which is our experts in the field. Two, the resolution is poorly researched, I believe. Still, we as librarians are specialists in checking the reliability of sources. This relies on sources such as Hamas, which I think one can say is not exactly an unbiased source in the conflict. Thirdly, even with modification, the resolution is one-sided, although it mentions that the United Nations report criticized Hamas for using schools and libraries as rocket storage and launching places. It does not call for a more direct halt to these kinds of war crimes that it really endanger libraries and the neutrality and safety of cultural heritage institutions. Fourthly, ALA Council has already gone on record several times trying to defend the Gaza and Palestinian libraries within the territories. I see no need for us to continue to take much more time on all of these issues in a very complex situation. It would just take so many hours to try to go and remedy the different resolutions and amendments to try to find some way of neutrality in things that represents our association. So, in conclusion, since I see the yellow light, rather than engaging in delaying a resolution or in spending hours proposing amendments to make it palatable, I ask you to reject this resolution. We have already voted to affirm protection for libraries in Israel and Palestine. That is the right ethical and political stand. Thank you.
Microphone 6.
Al Kagan, CERT counselor and seconder of this resolution. I am also a secular Jew. And I want to advise the body that, in fact, this resolution is extremely well-researched in opposition to what Andrew just said. There are several UN reports that are referenced here, and there's a very long source document that is not included in your packet here. I guess it is on the back. And, in fact, there's a report that came out just last week, which is the most comprehensive report from the UN on what happened in Gaza, and I refer you to that. I also refer you to the report that came out in May from 111 Israeli soldiers testifying on what happened in Gaza, and that is in the sources also. I think that's the most actually important document in the sources, so you can really see what went on there. Now, we took, as Andrew said, action in 2002 with the Israeli attack on Gaza, and we asked that schools and libraries should be rebuilt, and we called on governments, IGOs, and NGOs to prevent further destruction in the future. That did not happen. In 2009, the same kind of thing happened, and we took action again as a council to protect libraries and archives. And we called on the U.S. government to support the U.S. Committee of the Blue Cross in its work in upholding the 1954 Hague Convention for the protection of cultural property in the event of armed conflict. This resolution does much the same thing. We think that we have met all of the criticisms that we saw from the body in January and up till now by including every single bit of evidence of attacks on both sides of libraries and schools. So I urge you to support this, and I urge that if we support it, the Washington office vigorously lobby for what we're asking for. Thank you.
Microphone 3.
Christian Zabriskie, Counselor at Large. The Committee on Legislation does not support or endorse this resolution. Thank you.
Microphone 4.
Bernie Margolis, Counselor at Large. I oppose this resolution and want to make really, I think, just two observations about it. And in general about for ALA. First, ALA does not have a foreign policy, and I don't think we should. My second observation, there are 206, I believe, sovereign nations in the world today. If we had a foreign policy, it would seem to me that we'd be looking at resolutions like this and saying, among the nations of the world, is Israel or Palestine, are those the only two that we have this kind of concern about? Are there a couple hundred others, including our own country, that where we've witnessed the same kind of destruction of libraries, maybe not with bombs, but maybe in other ways? It seems to me that we shouldn't have a foreign policy, and we shouldn't be singling out any nations for condemnation without obviously looking at all of them. And I don't think that's our role. I will vote against this.
Microphone 6.
Majid Qadir, West Virginia Chapter Councilor. I stand in support of this resolution. We are librarians, and we have a social justice and humanitarian message. And this is not politics. The children, schools, as well as other the cities, as well as other people, and the citizens of the Gaza Strip have been victim of this subject. So I stand in support of the resolution, and I urge you to vote for it. Thank you.
Microphone 5.
Hi, Loida Garcia Fibo, Councilor at Large, also Chair of the International Relations Committee. The IRC discussed the resolution but did not take action to endorse.
Microphone 3.
Lauren Comito, Counselor at Large. So Israel is an ally and considered a friend of our country, but I know that when I do something that my friends don't think is okay, they tell me so, and they should, because that's a part of what being an ally and a friend is saying that wasn't cool. You shouldn't do this, and you need to fix this. I don't see this as an attack on Israel. I see it as a way of saying, let's bring this back and figure out a way to do this all better and not destroy libraries and schools. It's okay to tell your friends and your allies when they're not doing something right. Thank you.
Microphone 7.
Emily Bergman, Lama Counselor. As professional librarians and archivists, we have a responsibility to guard against the destruction of libraries, schools, and other cultural institutions. We must honor these responsibilities while maintaining our high standard for research and analysis. With its limited facts and absence of context, the resolution fails to reveal that almost 4,000 rockets were fired from the vicinity of those damaged libraries and schools by Gaza militants, endangering the lives of Palestinians as well as their institutions, while simultaneously targeting Israeli citizens. For more than 75 days, Israelis heard sirens and had mere seconds to run to safety. And for almost 50 days, Palestinians lived under returned fire, resulting in tremendous loss of life and property. The resolution downplays the role of Hamas in instigating the fueling of the conflict. The ALA should speak out against all actions that unnecessarily put libraries, schools, and at risk. As revealed in the New York Times, the Islamic University in Gaza, which houses important research collections, is affiliated with Hamas, a group that recognized by the U.S. Department of State as a foreign terrorist organization, has been used in the past as a base for Hamas gunmen. This is one of several institutions endangered in the summer of 2014 due to Hamas rocket fire directed at Israeli citizens and, as a result, Israel's defensive response. During the rocket fire, the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestine Refugees in the Near East issued multiple condemnations after discovering that schools in Gaza were being used to house Hamas rockets. These were only some of the schools used for such purpose. The intermixing of educational institutions and rocket storage and launch sites in Gaza was rampant and deliberate. The thousands of rockets currently stored beneath homes and educational institutions in Gaza remains a major hazard. For over the past decade, the world has witnessed the destruction of several libraries and library collections. Since ALA's 2015 midwinter meeting, ISIS forces burned 100,000 books in Mosul. In 2014, Lebanon's Al-Say Library and its nearly 80,000 books were torched. Rather than issue a resolution condemning these intentional acts of cultural destruction, the ALA instead, considering a resolution, focuses solely on the numerous libraries and schools damaged in Gaza. A dangerous precedent would be set by the ALA should it embrace such a selective resolution. It places near-exclusive blame on Israel for damage caused to libraries and schools that were converted by Hamas and other terrorist organizations into rocket launch sites and weapon depots. While Israel was not blameless during their conflict with Gaza, Hamas was the party responsible for deliberately putting educational institutions at risk, all of which could have been avoided if numerous ceasefire agreements were not violated by its gunmen.
With respect, your time is up.
Thank you.
Thank you. Microphone three.
Thank you. Christopher Corrigan, DCLA chapter counselor. And it was mentioned at midwinter, but I haven't heard it mentioned here, so I'll say it, that I believe that this resolution will poison our relationships with the members of Congress that support Israel. And also, I think it's really important to know, for us to consider, in the age of the internet, where many members of Congress and many members of the public believe that you don't need libraries anymore, and that that we are a luxury, that taking time to consider these to take stands on something that is this divisive is a luxury that we don't have anymore. And also, on a personal level, I spoke to several librarians in D.C. after the discussion at midwinter, and one of them clearly told me flat out, if this resolution had passed, this librarian would have canceled her membership with ALA.
Microphone four.
Andrew Wertheimer, chapter council from Hawaii. I just wanted to say, regarding Ms. Comito's comment, that I encourage you as an individual to go and express your thoughts on the issue, and that we can do this. I write petitions. I'm a member of Amnesty International. I don't think that this is something that ALA has enough information. And the point is, we're an organization about standards and about justice. And so if we want to start looking at these foreign policies, we should say, well, what are the levels of standards? What is access to information in Gaza? What is all of these questions? So rather than opening this can of worms, I would again request that you vote to reject this. And I'm wondering if I could call for the vote.
Since there are people waiting to speak,
okay,
we'll not.
Thank you.
Accept that request. Microphone four.
Mario Gonzalez, ALA Treasurer. When I attended the orientation for council, I remember that we could ask for extension of time for a speaker that was cut off, and I'd like to do that. I'd like to ask that the counselor finish reading what she was reading before. And
okay. Could the counselor who asked for us to end debate please return to the microphone? I'm sorry, I have made a mistake. I apologize to the counsel. Where is Andrew? Thank you. Microphone four. Andrew. No.
I think you're referring to Emily, who is out of time.
Well,
I wasn't.
Were you? I want to clarify. Were you making a motion to call for the vote?
Yes.
In debate. I'm sorry. Were you making a motion to end the debate?
End the debate, yes.
Okay. Do you have a second?
I think I do. Maybe a friendly second.
Keep me. Okay. My apologies. I made a mistake because we are now under Robert's rule of order. I would like to ask that we have a motion to end debate and a second. We will now take a vote. We require two-thirds vote in order to end debate. So I will ask that all those in favor please raise one of your hands. We're voting to end debate. We're just taking a vote. We have this motion that we must deal with. Thank you. All those opposed, please raise one of your hands. We're going to need to count. Would all those in favor of ending debate please stand? Thank you. You may be seated. Would all those opposed please stand? Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you. We have 102 yes, 46 no. The motion passes. We will close debate and move to the vote. Would all those in favor please raise one of your hands? All those in favor of the resolution, please raise one of your hands. Thank you. Would all those opposed please raise one of your hands? Thank you. The motion is defeated. Please mark your ballot, CD number 40, revised. Councilors, we have 7 minutes left for this meeting and one more resolution. Is it the wish of the council to continue or take up this business at council too? Continue? Would there be any objection to extending this meeting for 15 more minutes? No objection. Thank you. Microphone number two.
Ms. Councilor at Large, just point of information, do we not need to mark our ballots for the vote to end debate? No?
No, okay. No.
My apologies.
No, thank you for that question. I now direct your attention to ALA Council Document Number 2, Resolution on Mass Surveillance of the American People. Would Councillor Al Kagan please go to the microphone and read only the resolve clause of ALA Council Document Number 42. Microphone number 6.
Resolved that the American Library Association calls on the U.S. President and Congress to end mass surveillance of the American public. Two, repealing all by the American people. One, repealing Section 215 of the USA Patriot Act and all other sections that authorize mass surveillance of the American public. Two, repealing all mass surveillance authorized by the USA Freedom Act by adopting into law the following measures: requiring government agencies to get a national security warrant before collecting personal information from third parties, raising the standard for government collection of call records under FISA from, quote, reasonable grounds to, quote, probable cause, limiting the government's ability to use information gathered under intelligence authorities in unrelated criminal cases, making it easier to challenge the use of illegally obtained surveillance information in criminal proceedings, prohibiting the government from requiring hardware and software companies to deliberately weaken encryption and other security features, and requiring court approval for national security letters. Three, prohibiting the government from conducting warrantless reviews of Americans' email and other communications under Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, and four, amending Executive Order 12333 on United States intelligence activities by deleting all authority for mass surveillance of the American people.
Would you like to speak to this resolution?
Yes, I would. ALA opposed Section 215 of the USA Patriot Act, but never realized that it would be secretly used for mass surveillance. ALA recently supported the USA Freedom Act that amends Section 215, but does very little to stop mass surveillance. NSA whistleblowers like William Binney, who has been a speaker at our conference, said that the reason for intelligence agencies' support of the USA Freedom Act is that it would not effectively make much difference to them. Most civil liberties organizations were upset when the USA Freedom Act was terribly weakened before it was passed. This resolution calls for the repeal of Section 215, not just its amendment. It also calls for re-strengthening the USA Freedom Act by restoring the most important amendments that were defeated by Congress when debating the bill. You can see those in the second resolve clause. It also calls for prohibiting mass surveillance under the FISA Act and Executive Order 12333 on U.S. intelligence activities. We've been deceived and lied to about mass surveillance. Everybody knows that. We need to take a much stronger position in ALA and lobby hard in coordination with other allied organizations to push back against the national security establishment. We need to take firm action in ALA because we know that much is going on that we don't have any inkling about. Thank you.
Microphone 4.
Aaron Dobbs, lead counselor. While I am in support of many of the provisions in the resolved collection and the different actions listed in the whereases, council has a committee that looks specifically at legislation, and I would like to refer that to that committee for their review and action.
So you're making the motion to refer
this resolution
to COL. Is there a second for your referral? We will now speak to the referral. To Committee on Legislation. We will now speak to referring this resolution to the Committee on Legislation. Do you want to speak to that referral?
Just briefly, sure. Thank you. Aaron Dobbs, leader counselor still, I think. We have a committee that looks at all this stuff. There have been a lot of things that come forward touching on legislation, and I think it's very important that ALA, when they make a statement on legislative issues, it goes through COL for their review and comment, and hopefully action. Thank you.
Microphone 5.
Eric Cease, Counselor at Large. It's my understanding that there is a committee already in place, which is a joint committee of COL and IFC on surveillance. And that, I think, as long as Aaron is willing to work with that, is the proper place to refer it, and I would support referral to that committee.
He's microphone 4.
Aaron Dobbs, lead counselor, still until they let me go.
So this would be
that's fine.
A refer to the COL-IFC Joint Committee.
Joint Counselor on Surveillance, yes.
Okay. Microphone 5.
Larry Romans, Counselor at Large. The Resolutions Committee already referred this to COL before the conference. So I'm not sure why they wouldn't have discussed it already.
Yeah, this. I'm advised that this body has the ability to refer this resolution. Yeah. Microphone 6.
Al Kagan, CERT counselor. CERT actually did refer it to that joint committee, and I understand that that committee met this morning and it was on their agenda. So if anyone is here who was at that meeting, they could perhaps report about what happened. But it was referred, and it was supposed to be discussed this morning.
Microphone 4.
Aaron Dobbs, lead counselor. I am reliably informed that COL is meeting at this moment. The joint committee is meeting at this moment.
So refer? Yes.
So I continue to suggest we refer it.
Okay. Okay.
Seeing as there is no one else at the microphone, we will move to the vote. All those in favor of referring this resolution to COL IFC's joint committee, please raise one of your hands. Thank you. All of those opposed, please raise one of your hands. Thank you. The motion passes. Please mark your ballot, CD number 42, to COL. Microphone 6.
Mike Marlin, Counselor at Large. A point of clarification or information. Does this mean that this resolution will come back to us at this conference, or is it effectively gone from this conference because of this referral? I mean, would Aaron be willing to state, bring it? Well, I guess we voted on it, but I'm just curious what's going to happen.
Well, my understanding is since they are currently. Okay. The committee is scheduled to report at Council 3. So. Yep. Okay. So it is my sense that they would, that would be one of the items that they would report on. Microphone 3.
Christian Zabriskie, Counselor at Large. I sit on the Committee on Legislation. I know that this is a resolution that we are considering. I was not in the meeting this morning because I was here, but I know that this is certainly very high on our list of priorities to take care of as soon as we can. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. I now call upon Keith Michael Fields, ALA Executive Director and Secretary to the ALA Council, for announcements. Keith?
Thank you. Please be aware that although this room is a secure room, other meetings are also being held here. You should not leave computers or other valuables, loose cash, investment-grade jewelry at your places. So please do not leave the Metroplace or inside your portfolio. It gives me great pleasure to report on attendance. As of the end of the day yesterday, I'm happy to report 15,625 attendees and 6,738 exhibitors for a grand total of 22,363 attendees. That compares with 19,639 in 2014 in Las Vegas, and even exceeds 2013 in Chicago, where we had 22,303. Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Keith. Microphone 3.
Ismail Abdullahi, Councillor at Large. The Diversity Councillors Caucus will meet immediately after this meeting near Microphone 2. Thank you.
Microphone 3.
Hi, I'm Ellen Hunter Ruffin, Mississippi Councilor. The Youth Caucus will be meeting right here by Microphone 3.
Thank you. Microphone 4.
Aaron Dobbs, Lead Councilor, co-disorganizer of the Council Forum. I'd like to remind everyone tonight, June 28th, 8:30 to 10 p.m. in the Marriott Marquis San Francisco, Golden Gate C1 room. It's one level down from the Marriott Marquis main lobby. You have to go to the far right back corner in order to get down the escalator to get there. Please get any discussion topics to me, Aaron Dobbs, as soon as possible. My email, aaron@thelibrarian.org.
Microphone 6.
Pam Hickson Stevenson, Ohio Chapter Counselor. Just a reminder that the Chapter Counselors Forum is scheduled for tomorrow, Monday, June 29th, at the Marriott Marquis in the Yerba Buena Salon, 1-3, the rooms 1-3, from 4-5:30 p.m.
Ballots are now, microphone 5.
John DeSantis, Counselor at Large. I'd like to remind Council of the memorial service for Gail Schlachter, scheduled for this afternoon at 5 o'clock here in the Moscone Center.
I've been advised by Lois Ann Gregory Wood that the ballot box is open, so you could cast your vote as soon as this meeting concludes.
Before that, please be sure to sign, you have signed your vote tally card and passed it to the aisles for collection. Remember, cards without names and signatures will be voided. I declare the first meeting of the ALA Council adjourned. Thank you.